There are very few people who could claim the privilege of witnessing the likes of Kurt Cobain diving through the drum kit of his Nirvana bandmate Dave Grohl and subsequently spraining his wrist. Borrowing from the writings of street press Time Off, Sean Sennett and Simon Groth have compiled a chronology of the best of their music writings spanning over 25 years. With the running title Off the Record, I spoke with Sennett recently about quality music journalism, and he begins by explaining the significance of the book's publisher.
Yeah, it actually started earlier than that on campus at the University of Queensland, but yeah, it sort of entered the commercial world at the end of the 70s there.
Wow, how fitting then that the University of Queensland have now published Off the Record, I guess.
Oh, it is, yeah. There's a nice symmetry there that they're doing the book, absolutely.
Right, so now, okay, so we're now in 2010 where the whole media landscape is, it's in a state of upheaval, in particular for print.
Yeah, of course.
When you think of music magazines, you draw from Rolling Stone or a lot of those kind of UK publications that get, exported over here. But in turn, the street press scene has thrived all over the nation. So, I mean, I guess, how have you managed to continue? And
Well, it's a bit different for me because I sold the paper in 2007 to a company called Street Press Australia, who kind of got magazines all over the country.
And Drum Media and the like. Yeah.
But I kept the name Time Off Media and also Time Off Publications on the back burner too, and maybe we'll do something as nindy again. You know, at the moment we've got a website called tommagazine.com.au, and, free press seems to be thriving. I mean, I think the problem is getting people to pay for magazines, but people, if the content's good, are still prepared to pick up free ones.
And in turn, it is such a boost for artists. Like, I think, okay, if you're a band, who do you send your demo to first? It's the street press and the community, independent outlets.
Yeah, that's right. And independent radio.
Yeah,
all those kind of things. And, you know, it's kind of changing, and the world's changing. So many people can make music at home now, and, you know, you're sort of seeing more zines out there and more blogs out there and social networking. So the whole landscape's changing for media.
How important is it to retain independence when dealing in the arts or music? Like, what is sort of inherent to good music journalism that comes down to that idea of not answering to a higher power?
Well, I guess to begin with, most people writing for street press are doing it for love more than the money, because most contributors don't get paid very much, and some people don't pay them at all.
Yep.
People who are drawn to it have to be passionate about music. You could get a journalism student that is a straight-A student, but a political writer isn't going to have the same passion for writing about music as somebody that is an aficionado.
Exactly, because I guess, again, it's like if you're going to write a review, you don't want an inverted pyramid. You want to feel like you are there.
Well, it's really important, too, that, you know, people writing about music are prepared to be archaeologists to a degree and do a little bit of digging, because, that they should know more than what happened last year. You know, they should be prepared to, you know, go back to Johnny O'Keefe and listen to that music and follow it through the Loved Ones and Skyhooks and the Church and the Sonny Boys and the Saints and, you know, find their way here and, be able to compare that in contemporary terms.
There has become this massive foray into the made musician almost.
Oh, yeah, well, even, it's interesting, you know, even say from Time Off point of view, I remember 20 years ago, 25 years ago, if a local band made a single, it was a big deal because very few people got to make a single. Where now, you know, any kind of magazine around the country, they're probably receiving 10 or 15 local artists every couple of weeks coming through the doors. You can record at home, you can make a CD, and you've created something. It's fantastic, revolution.
If Dinosaur Jr. record their albums on Pro Tools, why can't, you know, anyone? And it's like everyone can have the accessibility
to this
software and technologies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is interesting because I've done stories about, you know, this content quota of Australian music.
Yes.
And someone kind of turned it onto 2SER, how much do we play of local? And, it's just an inherent thing that just because the nature of the music and the good stuff that's really independent just happens to be the local stuff. And, I mean, are you concerned at all that this, you know, this real presence of all of these bands who in the past would have been unheard will kind of be faded out in this kind of, you know, in this future of no labels and peer-to-peer file sharing and all this kind of malarkey?
Well, it's really hard. I mean, you sort of are concerned, I mean, I think in the 1960s and the 1950s and the 1970s, bands were given sometimes three albums to develop a sound and connect with an audience. Whereas now, when people are getting signed, the third album is generally the greatest hits. And unless that first album connects, you don't get a second record. So it worries me that a lot of people who've got talent don't have a chance to develop that talent and nurture that talent and see where it takes them. And I guess the independent route, people talk about how great it is that Radiohead put things up and everybody knows about it. But, you know, EMI spent 10 years building the Radiohead brand. Mm. You know, I think we're kind of entering a phase where, sadly, a lot of musicians won't be getting paid for their work, you know.
And does this in turn, are you concerned where the quality of music will go?
No, because I think there's always good music being made, and I think you always have to just look for it. I don't think we can rely on, the tastemakers on radio to go, this is what you must listen to. I think you take that as a jumping-off point and then do a bit of digging, and I think often reading about music is a great way of finding new things.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, just finally, I guess when you and Simon kind of got together with the whole idea of putting this book together, it must have been quite an archive to sift through.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of, like, 1,300 issues of the magazine.
Wow.
And
did you forget any? Did you go, wow, I didn't remember. I don't remember us doing that at all. Or did you just go, yeah, okay, know that one.
Yeah, it's amazing how much stuff you do remember. And there's a lot of stories that kind of stuck with me that I thought they have to be in the book. And then it was hard because we had a massive list. And so when we were culling it down, it got to the point where you'd kind of go, you know what, I want to have some independent bands in there that might not be widely known. And we also have to have some sort of superstar bands and artists from, you know, the 80s and 90s and 2000s who really connect with a lot of people. And then we wanted a big quota of Australian artists too. So, and we were very keen for the book to represent Australian street press as opposed to just Brisbane street press, which is why we've got a lot of those writers from around the country. And even though the book is culled from the Time Off archive, a lot of those stories would have been in Beat and Drum and In Press and Express and all that sort of stuff.
So really, I guess anyone who is kind of flipping through a street press would be, in theory, thankful to Time Off in a lot of ways.
I guess Time Off technically got there first, but, you know, I guess... you know, all these people had their own ideas around the country and they weren't connected, so people were doing their own thing in different pockets. So I think it's like the scientists say, I think the whole thing's kind of shared discovery.
Sean Sennett, editor and founder of Time Off, who has just put together a chronology with Simon Groth, Off the Record.